If you'll give your kind attention to our brother Rylan.
Thank you, Brother Jeremy. Good morning, everyone. So hopefully this past week has been full of fun and excitement. You know, it's always a joyous occasion having the Truth Corps come out, to be able to see an energetic group of young people eager to share the Word of God and to labor in the truth. It's also uplifting to see the dedication and the zeal that they have. And it's nice to see how it brings our ecclesia together and reignites the drive that we have to share the truth in the community. Now, as their time with us comes to a close, I think this morning is a good time to reflect on how God uses us for that purpose. A reminder of our responsibility as servants of the Lord. A reminder of the commitment that we made to follow after the example of Jesus. In Matthew 5 and verses 13 to 16, speaks on what it is to be a believer. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Each one of us is a light in this world of darkness. And some of our lights may be very bright and some may be dimmer. But each of us shine on a path that leads towards our Father in heaven. And each light helps guide others with varying degrees of success. And I believe God blesses our endeavors when our focus is on serving Him and spreading the gospel message. And if we continually tend to our light and don't allow it to fade and grow dim, we will see that our light will eventually illuminate the truth for others. Just as the Truth Corps did with their work this past week, this outreach is to get the Bible in front of people and to show them what God has to offer. But we know that one or two times is not enough to convert someone. That's why when they leave us this week, we'll have to keep a watchful eye, as this may be the time that God uses to bring another sheep into the flock. And if we let our light fade after this week, those individuals may not be able to see the truth clearly and turn away. Now, God's support of His servants is an underlying idea we see throughout the Bible as God supports the men and women of old. God does this in a variety of ways throughout the Bible, but for today I want to keep it brief, and we'll spend some of our focus on our reading in Jeremiah. As this support in Jeremiah is done in a way that we may find hard to recognize in the moment. And before we dive into today's reading, let's recap some of the previous chapters in Jeremiah. We see that Jeremiah warns the people that Nebuchadnezzar will come to war with Israel and to conquer Jerusalem. The Israelites speak to Jeremiah to inquire of the Lord that He may come to their aid and remove this hostile force and turn them away. But God's reply was strong and direct, explaining that instead of Him turning the Babylonians away, He would support them in their conquest and bring His wrath upon the Israelites for their evil deeds. Reading from Jeremiah 21 and verses 8 to 10. And to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who stays in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out and surrenders to the Chaldeans, who are besieging you, you shall live, and shall have his life as a prize of war. For I have set my face against this city for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Now, much of the prophecies delivered by Jeremiah would have been pretty hard to accept, as they were very detailed outlining what the destruction of their city would look like, and the pain that they would have to endure for their evil deeds. And during that time, false prophets came up, and they delivered messages that were much more appealing to hear. And I'm sure it'd be easy to see why the people of that time would have been much more supportive of them, as if they were speaking things that they really wanted to believe. They didn't want to hear that they'd be conquered and destroyed, especially hearing that it was due to their own failures and their lack of faith. They would much rather hear that they were doing right in following their own heart, hearing that no disaster would come upon them, and that everything would be okay, and that they could continue in their vanity. Now, like most times, it's easy to judge them while reading, thinking, well, how could they not trust in the God that had provided for them? How could they continue in a life serving themselves and committing deplorable acts while letting false prophets lead them astray and practice false worship? But let's compare it to where we are today. If we look at the world around us, we see people everywhere choosing the news or the media platforms that align with their values, or sharing the truth that they want to hear. These platforms, or some of them, carefully filter out the ideas that may upset or discourage the listener, causing them to choose another outlet. And we sometimes don't realize, but we can get caught up in these things as well. Our technology nowadays is smart enough to tailor itself to the user and suggest things that we'll find more interesting and relate to. And this causes us to sometimes trust or interpret something without understanding the full message or whether it's even true. And this can be the same with the Word of God. Most people don't want to hear that they are the problem and that they have to change. It's very difficult to look inward and self-examine every flaw, and it's even harder to use the sword of the Spirit to cut to the deepest thoughts and intentions of the heart, and to take that humbling information and then having to focus time and energy on changing those shortcomings. It's much easier to listen to someone that's going to tell you that each one of us can be whoever we want to be, and that we don't have to follow the rules laid out in the Bible exactly, and instead we can do whatever pleases the flesh. And it's much more satisfying to the flesh to take that easier path because it's comfortable. We can blame problems on external factors, and we can assign that responsibility to something else. And there are ideologies out there that follow that framework, and they have large followings. And some of these groups will pick and choose ideas from the Bible to follow, but then they'll also decide the other ones that aren't relevant to them. And many people support those causes, and they're generally accepted a bit more by non-religious people, as they align closer morally, and they don't discriminate against anyone's personal lifestyle choices. Instead of what they should be doing is condemning the things that God hates. But we understand that being a servant of the Lord is not an easy path. It's one filled with trials, mistakes, growth, and dedication, requiring a faith that will withstand external pressures and stay true to the values that God has set out for us, even when challenged. And we understand that it is a constant battle against the flesh, requiring discipline and knowledge of the truth to ensure that we remain on the right path and we don't get pulled astray. Now, if we examine the accounts of faithful men and women of old, we see that they were challenged in a wide variety of ways. Not everyone faced the same trials, and some seem much harder than others. And in that aspect, we are the same as them. In our reading today in Jeremiah 24, we see some of the challenges that have to be faced, and how our life in the truth is not always as simple as we want it to be. So in this chapter, in Jeremiah 24, Jeremiah has a vision of two baskets of figs, one full of very good, first ripe figs, and another full of very bad figs that cannot be eaten. These two baskets represent the fates that will come upon the people at the fall of Jerusalem. The good figs in the first were those who were taken to Babylon with Jeremiah, and it was for their good that they were removed and transplanted. And we see from our perspective that this was a part of God's greater plan, and that this trial was needed to cleanse the people of their wickedness and to remind them of their need for reliance on their Father in heaven. So let's consider this for a moment. Why is it that these people had to endure these extreme changes and circumstances for God to be able to continue with his plan? Why did they have to be removed and placed somewhere else in an uncomfortable position? Now, obviously, men and women and children died during this account, along with many who suffered. And so why did God allow this? Well, human nature has very stubborn tendencies. Even when presented with a solution to a problem or shown the correct path, we can't help but want to explore another option. Or we sometimes forget over time why that was the right answer, and we begin questioning things. We often don't learn without being placed in some sort of uncomfortable or difficult position. If the children of Israel were to remain in Israel, then they probably would not have learned the lessons required, and they wouldn't have changed in their hearts. They had to be plucked up, put in a new and uncomfortable environment to show them that they needed to trust in God. And those who remained faithful and trusted in the prophecy delivered to them were taken into captivity with Jeremiah. And this was to discipline them and shape them through trial. And so let's look at two verses together that kind of highlight the importance of this process. So first we'll look at James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then the second verse is Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. And it's not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And if we look back at trials in our lives and think about how they have shaped us, have we been able to profit from this instruction or this discipline received? Has that strengthened our faith and given us confidence in those lessons? Often our mistakes have very clear consequences and regrets that teach us and shape us. But it's only if we're willing to learn from them. And if we've learned from them, we are the same as the ripe figs of June, sweet to the taste to the owner who is God. Now the second basket of figs that were bad and unable to be eaten represented the sinful Israelites. Men and women unwilling to accept the words delivered to them by Jeremiah. Individuals who had instead worshipped idols and false gods. People who trusted only in themselves and did what was right in their own eyes. These people continue in the same trend as many generations of God-chosen people before them, turning their back on God when they felt safe and had all that they had needed, forgetting that God was providing those things to them. Once they felt they had no more need of their God, they began to doubt and crumble in their faith. For example, the children of Israel, multiple times during the time of the Exodus and in their time in the wilderness. And here we have another time where God's people were placed among a different nation, forcing them to turn from their bonds. And we see in that example, God hears their cries and provides Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And the children of Israel witnessed the plagues brought down on Egypt and the splitting of the Red Sea to escape Pharaoh's army. Their congregation was led by a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. They had manna given to them daily, yet they still grumble and complain. And when Moses went up into the mountain to receive the commandments, leaving the people alone with Aaron, here they made no delay in turning to idols and creating the golden calf in Exodus 32. They were immediately questioning God's power and turning to self-reliance when they had been crying out to God to save them a few months previous. And this is a great showcase of how stubborn human nature is and how the flesh continually leads us to sin. And this is why God had to take these extreme measures in Jeremiah. Otherwise, the people would not learn from their mistakes and their faith would remain weak. And we have to be careful that we do not make the same mistakes as the children of Israel. And we have to continually trust in God and not doubt his ability to provide for us. We will see later on after the fall of Jerusalem how certain faithful individuals endured the trials of captivity and trusted in God. And they became great examples of faith, like Daniel and his three companions. They did not let their situation cause their faith to waver, and instead were able to show God's glory and power to the Babylonians. They became valuable instruments in God's plan, and are even still teaching us lessons today through the book that we read. So as we look at the emblems this morning, and we see the symbols of Christ's sacrifice and victory over the flesh, they should serve as a reminder of the level of dedication required of us. The sacrifice that we must be willing to make in serving our Master. Christ walked on earth and lived his life among the people, yet he did not allow the world to distract him from his purpose. He served God daily and spread the gospel message even when some people were unwilling to receive it. And when challenged on his faith, he navigated the situations with mercy and love, providing us an example to follow in our lives. So we must focus on sharing that gospel message as much as we can, living our life as an example to others, that they may see our good works and inquire of the truth. And as we approach the latter days, it's imperative that we do this, to show as many people as we can the glory of God, that they may be saved, just like in that time of Jeremiah, that we may be the ones who face major trials, yet remain steadfast in our faith, weathering the storms of life so that we may come out the other side and be an example of God's providence. 1 Peter chapter 5 has a good message on these verses in verses 5 to 11. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, like in the time of Jeremiah and the children of Israel in Egypt, we too are strangers in a foreign land. Just like the examples we looked at this morning and the many others left on record, we should not be well-versed in the society around us. We should strive to be separate, to live in the world, but be not of it, a place where each person does what is right in their own eyes. Instead, we are sons and daughters of light, set apart from those around us. We should be strangers in this land because our true home and destination has not yet arrived. But we are here now for a purpose, and that's to share God's word with those who will hear it, to guide people to salvation, and to manifest God's character and give glory to the Father that provides for our every need. Christ will come soon to set up his perfect kingdom on earth, and there we will find our rest. There is where there will be true peace, seeing God reveal his true glory unto the world, that all may come to a knowledge of him. And we'll finish with a reading from Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.